Good afternoon. The title of this presentation is Influence of Spousal Communication and Gender Attitudes on Contraceptive Use. I'll be discussing baseline findings from a household survey with data from married couples in Tanzania. I have no relationships to disclose. The context for this presentation is based on the notion that unequal gender-based power relations, particularly male dominance in sexual relationships, often results in negative health consequences for both men and women and aggravates the sexual and reproductive health lives of women. Furthermore, women's lack of power and status is thought to hinder communication between partners with regard to sexual relations and reproductive health decision making. However, despite this common belief that inequitable gender norms can function as barrier to contraceptive use by constraining spousal communication, there is in fact little published evidence linking family planning with gender attitudes. So the purpose of this study is primarily to examine the relationships between gender attitudes, spousal communication, and contraceptive use. And we are working with data from married couples, so to determine if there are differences in these relationships for husbands and wives. In terms of the source of the data comes from baseline data from a larger quasi-experimental study in Tanzania, which is testing the effectiveness of radio programming to address gender norms in support of a family planning community-based distribution program. The baseline household survey was conducted in 2010 and collected data from a sample of 400 men and 400 women. 400 respondents total. This includes 200 men and 200 women who were married couples. Respondents ranged in age from 15 to 49 and included both family planning users and non-users, and husbands and wives were interviewed separately. The survey included questions on gender-related attitudes as well as family planning-related questions in terms of knowledge, attitudes, and behavior. For today's presentation, multivariate logistic regression was used to examine the associations between spousal communication and gender attitudes on contraceptive use as reported by women after controlling for age, education, number of living children, and geographic region. Data from husbands and wives were run in separate logistic regression models. Just some background characteristics on our study sample. The majority of women were in the younger age group between 15 and 29 years old, while the husbands were largely older in the 30 to 49 year age group. Most of the respondents, large majority, had completed primary school education or higher. Over 40% of respondents had reported having three or more children. And our study sample was drawn equally from the regions of Mwanza and Dodoma in Tanzania. And the majority of our respondents were Christian. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Gender Equitable Men Scale, which some of you may have heard of, and just to provide a bit of context for the scale. The GEM scale is intended to measure attitudes towards gender norms in intimate relationships, and it was originally developed and tested in Brazil by Instituto Promundo and PATH within the context of HIV prevention. It has since been tested in other countries, and the version that we used in our study was actually a validated version from Ethiopia that we also then pre-tested in Tanzania. So as used here, the GEM includes 24 items from a range of domains including violence, sexual relationships, reproductive health and disease prevention, and domestic chores and daily life. As illustrated here, these are a few different items from the GEM scale representing each of these domains. Items such as there are times a woman deserves to be beaten, men need sex more than women do, a real man produces a male child, and a woman's role is taking care of her home and family. The GEM is scored on a 3-point scale with response options of agree, partially agree, and disagree, and it can be treated as a continuous measure with a score ranging from 0, which would represent the least equitable or least equitable attitudes, to 24, representing the most gender equitable attitudes. The GEM scale can also be treated as a categorical measure where different levels of gender equity are categorized into low, medium, and high, for example. Just as a side note, I've included, there's more information on the GEM scale and a compendium resource at the back of the room which describes the GEM scale and other gender scales that we're actually interested in exploring with our research. So from our baseline results, we found that both husbands and wives reported similar gender attitudes, and there were no statistically significant differences between them. Overall, though, gender attitudes were on the lower end of the equity spectrum, with husbands for having a mean score of 9.4 out of a possible maximum score of 24 on the GEM scale, and wives having a score of 9. So this slide describes the distribution of some of our selected variables of interest. In addition to gender attitudes, which I just described, we were also interested in the another explanatory variable of spousal communication, which was measured as how many times husbands and wives talked with their partners about contraceptives in the past 3 months. Frequency of spousal communication family planning was similar between husbands and wives, with about 59% of wives and 54% of husbands reporting they had discussed contraceptives with their partner in the past 3 months more than one time. And there were no statistically significant differences between men and women on this measure. Our dependent variable is contraceptive use as reported by women, which is a more reliable measure than men's report. And in our study sample, about 46% of wives reported using a method of contraception. The main methods, the main family planning methods reported by women in this study sample were oral contraceptive pills, injectables, calendar method and standard days method, which were lumped together in one category, and then male condoms, followed by withdrawal and female sterilization, lactational amenorrhea method, and then other traditional methods. So this is, sorry, this is a little bit small, but the takeaway from this is that these are the findings from the multivariate logistic regression model. We were interested in calculating the odds ratios, which are shown here, for spousal communication and the GEM scale after controlling for variables like I mentioned, such as age, education, number of living children, and geographic region. So the findings of four different logistic regression models are shown here. The first two models, models 1 and 2, relate to wives' data. Models 3 and 4 relate to husbands' data. So in model 1, we see that spousal communication is statistically significantly associated with use of contraception after controlling for sociodemographic variables. Women who reported talking to their husbands more than one time in the past 3 months were more likely to report using contraceptives than women who reported never talking or talking only one time to their partner in the past 3 months. In model 2, still using wives' data, we see that when the GEM scale is added to the logistic regression, spousal communication remains significant, and the GEM scale is also significant, indicating that women who had higher scores on the gender equitable men scale, or who reported having more gender equitable attitudes, were more likely to report using contraception. So then we examined these same relationships using the husband's data, as shown in models 3 and 4, and we find that neither spousal communication on family planning nor the GEM scale was significantly associated with contraceptive use. So just to sum up the study results, overall, husbands and wives had similar gender attitudes. For wives, spousal communication was a significant predictor of women's contraceptive use after controlling for sociodemographic factors. And when gender attitudes were added to the logistic regression, spousal communication remained significant, and gender attitudes was also significantly associated with contraceptive use. So wives with more equitable attitudes were more likely to report contraceptive use. And again, on the other hand, neither of these explanatory variables were significant for husbands' data. Just to point out some obvious study limitations, we had a small sample size of 200 couples, total 400 respondents. We also had relatively higher family planning use in our study than as that compared to the Tanzania Demographic and Health Survey from 2010, in which about 34% of currently married women in the same age group reported using any method. Like I said, these data are drawn from a larger quasi-experimental research study that is using radio and working with different clinics, and so the selection criteria for the study and the respondents was limited by this larger study design. So it's possible that we don't have a real rural population here. Another point I want to mention is that the gender equitable men scale that we were using, it's actually originally designed to work has originally been used with men, and so it hasn't been tested as often with women. So that might be another factor to consider in terms of the use of the GEM scale and its applicability in testing with women. And then also we use a cross-sectional survey design, so cannot establish any causal relationships between our associated variables. So based on the study results, it seems that the effect of women's gender attitudes was independent of couple communication on family planning, suggesting that gender attitudes may actually influence women's propensity to take action in family planning. And it could be that more equitable gender attitudes could influence or enhance a woman's ability or capability to assert herself with regard to the use of contraception. Also, the disparate findings for husbands and wives suggest that while influencing men to be more gender egalitarian may be worthwhile for many reasons, it appears that women's gender attitudes influence contraceptive use in this particular setting. And finally, the role of partner communication contraceptive use is not clear-cut. Further study is needed on understanding partner communication in the context of prevention of unwanted pregnancies, and identifying approaches that improve communication between partners, and that more specifically pinpoint the key elements that or the types of communication that should be considered to most effectively neutralize gender-based inequities. So that's it. I'd like to thank our staff.